Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
So we're just less than a week away from Christmas Day and the big dinner, and I'm joined now by not one but two chefs who are going to help us make it all go seamlessly. Nevin Maguire and Brian McDermott, coincidentally great friends.
We are.
Many years.
Absolutely.
So we thought we'd get you both in to take us through the whole thing from start to finish, and we have lots of questions for you to get through. But are you both cooking Christmas dinner?
I am.
Yeah, and I am as well. But I've downscaled it, so it's just the four of us. Niamh, our daughter's coming home from England with Notions tonight. So she'll be back and it'll be the four of us for Christmas Day. But you have a lot more, Nevin.
Yeah, my brother's home from Australia, so I think I have about 30 people for Christmas. But we're super organised. So yeah, I'm looking forward. I can't wait. And we're closed now.
The restaurant is closed,
yeah,
so you can focus
finished
on
up
this.
Saturday,
so
yeah.
Does your prep start now?
Oh yeah, it's
today?
Already done. I have me...
Stuff what have you done?
Made. I have my stuffing made. I have my glaze made. I have lots of stuff done. Cranberry sauce done. Yeah, my brother wants curry chicken spring roll. This is what he loves.
Oh, he's the one who doesn't eat the roast
no,
dinner.
No, this is another one. That's my twin brother, David. So, yeah, but he's got better. So he has, you know, he's got much better. But no, it's all about family, isn't it, Brian? You know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think Nevin is more in the boot of his car than I have in my fridge at the minute. When I seen it this morning, he's got food for everyone.
And for you though, Brian, even though you're only cooking for four, do you start early with the prep as well?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you have to start early because if you plan it now, like, you know, at this stage what you're going to have. If you're going to have the whole turkey, you're going to have the crown. If you're going to have the ham, traditional dinner. So pop a little menu onto a bit of paper because that will give you a task list, and after that you can work out what are we going to do and more importantly what can we do now because we're a few days out. And you know, look at Nevin, you've the stuffing with you and all. I mean, you've it made, you can pop that in the freezer, can't you?
Absolutely, and it'll keep in the fridge. Like, that's just a very simple, it's just dried cranberries, there's apricots in that, some pine nuts, breadcrumbs, some herbs. And it what I like about it, it's like a Christmas cracker, so you just warm that up while the turkey's resting, so then you're thinking,
so
of
you have
space.
That for our listeners wrapped up in tin foil, just in the shape of a Christmas cracker.
Exactly.
So you're saying you pop that into the oven and it's not going to dry out
if you
do that.
And you see, that's the key, Claire, because if you wrap it in tin foil, it's going to keep it really moist and there's lots of butter in there. And if you don't like using too much butter, you can use a little bit of vegetable or chicken stock, which is gorgeous.
So. Now, a real mammy tip, I think, for the turkey is just to treat it like a big chicken.
For sure.
Yeah. Totally. Like, and you know, we do overthink it and we stress. That causes the stress, the turkey, you know, and it's the one thing we spend least time looking after because the oven does the work for you. And I think if you're looking at turkey, I know, Nevin, you're a favour of kind of putting butter in, flavouring it.
Oh yeah.
I tend to just try and get the timings exactly right because turkey doesn't have a huge amount of flavour. That's why we have stuffing with such great flavours, because you pull in the herbs and you pull in the fruit in your case, and it's a succulent meat. It's tender if you cook it to the correct timing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key.
And your trick, of course, is to soak it in
the
buttermilk.
That's just, I've never actually done it with a full turkey. So I'll be cooking three large turkey breasts this week. And I will marinate them in buttermilk for 2 days in some rosemary, some sliced orange in the fridge. And there's an enzyme in buttermilk that keeps it really moist and absolutely succulent. And that's what you want because it's a very lean meat. And your mum is right, like, treat it like a large chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my mother used to roast it, she'd put orange and onion into it, a little bit of thyme into the centre, like... And she'd roast it with lots of lovely butter and smoked bacon. So you're getting all that lovely flavour.
And you're putting
the
butter in under the skin.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then bacon on top of that. And then we use the bacon. So we do when we're doing the Brussels sprouts. We're from Cavan. We don't waste anything. So the lovely smoky streaky rashers are gorgeous.
We had a tip on the show last week from Mark Moriarty about the sprouts, putting sugar into the water. The boiling water. What
very
do you think?
Good.
Yeah, because they're naturally bitter, so
yeah, they are.
You can bring a little bit of
nasty little things.
Yeah.
You don't like them? You're not
mad about them. I'm not. But I will try the sugar with them and see, does that help?
Yeah, no, Claire, you're missing out. I think they're lovely. I love them overcooked, you know, when they're mushy.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, and then I get them into a bit of cream butter, nutmeg, and I take the ends off the ham because it's sweet and it's got sugar with a glaze on it. And I pop that, chop it in, and all of a sudden I do it like a bake.
Yeah,
and you can put a little bit of breadcrumb over it. And again, that can be done early. Pop that back in the oven, heat it up, and it becomes more than, do you want sprouts? It becomes more like, here we
actually want to eat
different.
It. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Party food then, just a couple of tips for people on party food. What do you recommend? It's easy.
I think like what I usually do is little mini cocktail sausages with a little bit of hoisin inside, some sesame seeds. They're simple and kids will eat them too.
Mm-hmm.
Sausage rolls, you can have them made, this beautiful Irish made all butter pastry, good Irish pork, and they blend it up with a bit of sweet chilli sauce, a little bit of pesto, which is gorgeous. Like, I have some in the freezer and I'll pop them in. So when my family arrive, they'll get some of them with a glass of mulled bottled wine, and then they'll be asked to help out. So they will.
Yeah. And that's plenty, isn't it? Not
absolutely.
To overdo it.
No,
as
no,
well.
You don't. Absolutely. And I think go to the hampers. We all get hampers and gifts. And I think when you're looking in there and you're thinking, what do you do with that? And think fat, because when it comes to cannabis, we're looking for a little bit of fattiness in the form of cheese or deep fat fryer. We're usually having it with a wine prosecco or a beer, so it works really well.
Mm-hmm. So starters then, let's go with starters. What are you doing for the starter?
Well, I'm doing a soup and I'm keeping it very, very simple. It's a spiced parsnip soup. So it literally is just peel, chop your parsnips and you're sweating them off and you're adding a little bit of cumin. That's the only spice I'm putting in. Why? Because it warms up your inside. It's a nice time of the day if you're doing it early afternoon. We eat earlier on Christmas Day than we do any other day of the year for a big dinner. So to me, that just lightens it up with a bit of fresh stock. Blitz the living daylights out of it. And then again, I'll take some of the ham and cut it and chop that onto the top of it. And I'm serving it with my homemade brown bread.
Beautiful, beautiful. I actually bought you in some chestnut soup with some mushrooms. So chestnuts are readily available and they're lovely. It's a lovely kind of a creamy kind of velouté soup, which is made with some stock. You can use chicken or vegetable. Bacon in this, but you can leave the bacon out if you have a vegetarian coming. Thyme, garlic, onion, stock, cream. And like that can be made now over the next day or two, kept in the fridge for up to a week, or you can freeze it. So.
And is seafood not the traditional starter, like a little prawn cocktail or a seafood tureen?
Claire, that's the next course.
Yeah. So really?
We're going for two here. So
I love it.
So what I tend to do is serve like a little kind of, I call it a supercino. So instead of a cappuccino, you're doing a little kind of cappuccino cup and you're serving it just to warm up. Mm-hmm. Usually it's to settle people down because they're all walking around and you're kicking wrapping paper from under the table, trying to get it out of the way. So I go on to seafood. I know I've ordered some prawns this year because being in Greencastle, I have the luxury of getting the fresh boats coming in this week. And I'm stealing Nevin's recipe for the kataifi pastry, which is wrap up the fresh prawn. And I'm hoping you brought me something to go along with it, did you?
Oh, maybe some sauce for yours. You'd be nice with that. I mean, that's a starter that I'm doing too, prawns. And I have them wrapped in the freezer. So we just get them and we peel them. We wrap them in. It's kind of like a shredded wheat pastry. You'll get it in the Asian market. Mm-hmm. And it's like phyllo. And they're just lovely. They're crunchy. And then we do that with a lovely kind of like, it's called a sauce for yours, with some peppers, a little bit of lemon, some sugar, vinegar. So it's really lovely, sweet and sour. It's gorgeous.
And the vegetarians are catered for with the soup?
Absolutely, without the smoked bacon. Yeah,
okay,
for sure.
Okay.
Or goat's cheese is gorgeous too.
Let's go to some questions because there's so many of them. I know we're not going to get to them all. Let's try and get to some of them at least. What vegetable dishes can you cook and freeze before Christmas?
Well, I'm doing roasted veg, and I think like taking your hearty root vegetables like your red onion, your carrots, your parsnip. To me, you can peel, you can chop those, and you can kind of take them to a stage where you've blanched them for about 8 minutes, cool them down quickly, put them in a tray flat. They don't take up much space in the freezer. And when I pull those out, heat up your tray separately and drizzle a little bit of oil into a bowl with the roasted veg. Toss it round and add to that some black pepper, bit of salt, fresh rosemary, thyme, into the hot tray, then get that sizzle, and they'll cook in half the time, and all of a sudden you've half the prep work done.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of honey, five minutes before the end?
Yeah, at the end you can, and also a little bit of spice. Sometimes like a five spice on it can be nice, but think of who you're cooking for. And again, I think totally of my girls and go, they're not going to like it if I spice it up too much.
Okay, the honey will work, the spice mightn't in your house. Would you be freezing vegetable dishes now?
Not really. I think red cabbage is like a lovely traditional one, and you can have it cooked now the next day or two. It'll keep for a week or two with a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of red wine, you know, some brown sugar, some apple juice, and just slice your red cabbage. But what I tend to do is blend it in the food processor. Cooks far quicker, so it does. So it's a different kind of texture. It's not like a coleslaw texture.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a lovely kind of soft texture for the red cabbage. And then some spices, some mixed spice, cinnamon, a little bit of sugar, because you don't want it too sour because it's naturally bitter anyway. Mm-hmm. So you want it kind of sweet and sour, but all that lovely spices. So they can be done in the next few days.
A vegetarian main course other than nut roast and squash?
Again, if I'm doing the roasted veg like that, I mean, pulling in a little bit of goat's cheese, some walnuts, some warmed honey over the top of it. So you can take what you're already doing and see, can you extend that out? And that's what I'd be doing if I had a vegetarian. And God knows when the oldest daughter returns from the UK, what notions will be upon her? We could well be dealing with one.
Poor girl hasn't a chance. She has notions before she's landed.
No, she's brilliant.
What about you, Nevin,
for
the veggies?
Well, I think a lovely little bit of puff pastry that can be pre-cooked, cut it into a circle, pre-do that, a little bit of tomato sauce. And I love Brian's idea of goat's cheese. and maybe some cherry tomatoes. Keep that simple. You know, that can be done as a large, kind of like a puff pizza, we call it, or else a very nice risotto with some lovely vegetables.
Oh, risotto's
which can be
lovely.
Made. I love it, and made with vegetable stock. It's gorgeous, and it's comforting, and it's satisfying too. Mm-hmm. And you can put in some chestnuts, peas, you know, some lovely roasted vegetables, like Brian said, even some peppers would be gorgeous.
I'm glad now Mary has asked us a ham question. When you boil your ham and you then finish it off in the oven with the cloves and the sugar, etc., is that time in the oven included in the time for cooking the ham according to its weight, or is it extra?
It's extra.
It is.
Definitely. And I think one key word there is boiling. I mean, I've learned over the years you don't actually boil ham. You simmer it and you poach it. Because if you boil it, you tighten it up and you toughen it. It's a natural muscle. So I know for me, I add the cloves to the water, bay leaf, and it's about 20 minutes or so to the pound, and then turn it off and let it cool in the liquid is how I do it, and then take it out and score the top of the fat and leave that for about 10 minutes at air temperature, because that dries it up and it allows that nice sticky glaze to go on the top of it. And I know you have a great glaze, Nevin.
Yeah, well, you know, I have my hams cooked in the fridge at home. I mean, like, I just literally steam them in the restaurant, so we have an oven, thank God. But at home, you could do a little bit of cider, water, some vegetables. I love your idea, the cloves. Cloves is a great spice with ham. When I think of my granny, you know, she used to put cloves, brown sugar, some mustard. But I've got a lovely kind of a maple glaze with red currant jelly, some maple or honey you can use, and some allspice. So it's not the aftershave, the allspice, Brian, okay? it's allspice. It's a little berry and it's delicious in this with a little bit of balsamic vinegar, and you brush that over the cold ham. Never brush it over the hot ham because it's going to run off.
Oh yeah, it's a disaster.
Yeah, and then a little tip for you is parchment paper. It's going to save on the wash up. Trust me, your listeners are going to be thanking us for that. So they are. So you keep brushing. You just don't do it once. You brush it two or three times.
Okay. You don't like studding the ham with cloves.
No, I don't personally, because I think they stick in your teeth.
I agree.
And I've got this horrible flavour all day. I love clove. It's associated with Christmas. I love the smell. You know it's Christmas. But what I tend to do is put ground clove into my actual glaze so that I'm getting all of the flavour, but I'm not trying to pick out these overpowering cloves from the natural. Oh my God. Great for TV and great for magazines.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
But not for Christmas
and
Day.
How soon in advance can you cook your ham, poach your ham? We're not boiling it like in Egypt anymore, but we're poaching it. How soon in advance?
I think a couple of days. And once it's stored correctly and cooked, stored in the fridge, I mean, and with that lovely cooking liquor, you can make it into a soup. You know, your liquor, or even if you're doing a risotto for leftovers, so you're not going to waste that if you're putting cider into it, and you have the lovely flavour from the vegetables. Because now hams, they're not as salty as they used to be. My mother used to always soak them the night before. But honestly, would you agree?
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, look,
you don't have
changed,
to pre-soak.
No, I don't think so.
What's changed there is tradition of how they cure it, because it used to be just salt, but now you notice it's in these tight vacuum bags, so they can put in less salt in the cure, more sweetness, and therefore there's still an extended shelf life on it.
But Nevin, this question for you. How long before Christmas Day can I make potato stuffing? Can it be made early and frozen, or will crystals form in the potatoes and make it soggy?
Well, the potatoes might kind of go a little bit discoloured, so you want to make sure that they're well coated with some butter.
I don't know. Potato stuffing, is that a thing?
I've never actually done that, to be truthful.
I've never done that either.
Maybe a sausage meat stuffing. You know, some people put some mashed potato or some diced potato, so you need to be careful of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely with the stuffing that we both make, that can be made a couple of days ahead. No problem at all.
Do you make mash in advance?
No. My God.
Nevin, I'm didn't answer that. Yeah. Do you make mash in advance?
Do.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
How do you reheat it?
Yeah, so you just reheat it so first of all, I steam my potatoes. My mother used to put a tea towel on them to dry them out, and then literally put them through a potato ricer, and then lots of lovely milk, some butter in there, and then just literally heat it up then the next day with some warmed up milk. But Brian obviously doesn't agree with me.
Only because
he's going to kick me under the table.
I'm the son of my mother, who was on the potato farm, who nearly actually put me out of the family for talking about cooking potatoes in advance.
I love it.
So for her, dug fresh, cooked fresh, eaten fresh, and no leftovers.
Oh, brilliant.
So they don't dry out if you do that, if you add a bit more milk.
Absolutely. I mean, like, that's what I'll do. I'll be doing mine Christmas Eve and I'll be warming them up.
I'd be afraid of my life. I'd be afraid of my life. Brian, you would as well. You agree with me.
I'm on this side.
Okay, fair enough. I'm outnumbered here.
Helen wants to know, can a roulade be made 24 hours in advance? I'd be afraid of that. No, you think he makes everything in advance.
No,
you don't think it can be.
That with the cream and that. Yeah,
I know. That's what I'd be afraid.
Yeah. I think it might just weep and just be, I probably wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. Mary, any tips on a make-ahead good gravy without onions? Because Mary thinks the onions make the gravy too sweet.
Well, they will, but while if Mary would consider maybe putting in a little bit of balsamic or something like that, it takes that away and adds a little bit of sort of sharpness to it, which I think is needed and required. Or, to me, a good gravy, you need the juices from the meat that you're actually going to serve on the day. So
I agree.
You know,
I have gravy here for you. And what I did was just get some chicken wings, roast them off with some vegetables at the weekend on a tray, into the oven for about maybe 40 minutes until they're beautiful and golden brown, covered in water, some vegetables. And then, you're right, the juices of the turkey then is the key. Once you skim off the fat, goes into that. And Madeira is a beautiful, it's a fortified wine. I think it gives so much beautiful richness and fresh thyme.
But you can make your gravy in advance if you have stock from a different, you know, from a chicken.
Yeah, you could. Of course you could. Absolutely. And you can get some beautiful fresh chicken stocks now in the supermarkets, which are gorgeous. Yeah. They are.
If you want to make life easy for yourself.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Okay, let's go to the next one. What do you recommend for a home alone Christmas dinner that's not chefy? So cooking for yourself.
I think there's great options out there in smaller versions, you know, and whether it is just a very, very small breast of turkey meat, or it is a small ham that maybe is already cooked and you're just adding the glaze to it. Mm-hmm. It's all about a sense of occasion, and there's a reason usually why someone's on their own. But to bring to themselves what they need on the day is create a little bit of the festive smells. So take a ham that's either pre-cooked or a smaller portion or version and just glaze that and just make it as a normal dinner. You're bringing an occasion to yourself and you're creating a safe space.
Exactly. And so, you know what? Some people by choice are on their own on Christmas Day, and we have to respect that as well, but it is still nice to have something lovely to eat.
And you get beautiful stuffings in the supermarket, and Brian made a good tip about getting the small breast of turkey and then even enough for Stephen's Day. Think like that you don't want to be cooking Stephen's Day. It's about leftovers and using what you have. I think that's very important.
Now, Margaret, any tips for cooking a turkey crown so it won't be dry? She usually cooks a whole turkey, so she's afraid that this turkey crown might be a little bit dry.
Turkey's dry when you overcook it is always my view. And I think that you know, not to overcook it is about the timing. The preparation is always the same. A trivet's very important. What's a trivet? It's that wire rack that you get on the roasting trays. But I tend to take that out and I use vegetables.
Love it.
You rest your turkey on it, even the crown. It stops the turkey hitting the bottom of the tray, which stops the fat, deep fat frying it, which toughens up the piece of turkey in question. So for me, it's around about 25 minutes to the pound for a crown, 30 for a whole turkey, and about 20 if you're just going breast with no bone.
And I think, Claire, bringing it to room temperature is really important because it relaxes the meat and into a hot oven. So if it comes straight from the fridge into the hot oven, you know, you're going to have a dry piece of meat. So just relax the meat. For me, it's lots of butter and get a little bit of orange zest and lemon zest, some fresh thyme into that. And honestly, the flavour, and keep basting the turkey. That's how you don't get a really dry turkey. A little bit of water. You can use wine if you want to. Water is what I use. And spoon that over the turkey every, 20, 25 minutes, half an hour. At least.
And you mentioned the bacon as well.
Bacon
over the top.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it gives great flavour. And you can just use plain. I use the smoky one, so I do. I think it's delicious.
Now, let's talk about dessert, will we? Move on to dessert. Trifle?
Yeah, I love it.
I don't like trifle.
Do you
know? No, I don't like trifle.
Ah,
no.
Claire. Come on.
I don't like it like that. I like a nice, I'm going to make a berry. I'm on dessert duty this year. A berry tiramisu. I think I'm going to try that.
Super.
Make that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, you're still on trifle territory, to be fair.
Trifle will have to be made because people like it, don't they?
Absolutely.
Sherry trifle.
I mean, like I make a mulled fruit trifle. So I have my berries poached, frozen berries, and a little bit of port, red wine, some cinnamon, and they're delicious. And like I make a custard, but you can get some lovely fresh custards made. A little bit of sponge. What I do is get Madeira cake and I just blitz it up in a food processor so then it absorbs all those lovely kind of poaching juices from the berries, custard cream, and then some little kind of like smashed up Maltesers, and it
sounds lovely.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
No jelly involved.
No jelly, actually. Interesting. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, well, do you know what? My mum always did it a very traditional where she took, you remember those horrid tins of fruit cocktail and you pick the cherries out of it and she poured it all in.
Don't be mean to your mammy now. Fans of your mammy.
She was with me yesterday for dinner and I actually said to her, I said, you know, I'm speaking to Claire with Nevin tomorrow. Oh. I'm not giving out your recipe for the trifle because over the years I've changed it and I still keep it traditional, but I do cheat and I do get a sponge that's already made. And it is about the sherry. It's getting to the back of the press and finding it again and making sure that it's in there and pouring that in, and it doesn't need jelly.
Scoff at the fruit cocktail and the Madeira sponge and all of that, people, and the jelly, that brings people back. There's a real nostalgia to that.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah, people really enjoy.
That's what Christmas is about, yeah. Because it's you know, I think it's so funny. When we leave here today, we'll be asked the question, how do you cook your Christmas turkey?
Yeah.
We don't get to answer because people go, wait till I tell you how I cook mine. And that's tradition. And that's what I love about it, because who am I to change anyone's Christmas tradition from their mum and how they cook turkey, ham and otherwise for the day?
And does anyone eat Christmas pudding on Christmas Day? Because that's very heavy, isn't it, after a big meal?
Yeah. I love it, a rum custard. I love it. The problem is I love all the desserts. And you know what I do is I make a chocolate sponge and I get some vanilla ice cream, cover it in meringue. It was my mother's recipe. And it's a chocolate baked Alaska. Ah. But the kids will love it because I have a lot of kids. So they will have it. So a little bit of ice cream, the meringues you're getting.
Go back over that again.
So sorry, chocolate sponge.
Yeah.
Okay, some vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
You just buy a block and slice it up and then you cover it. So you do three layers of the chocolate sponge and then two layers of the ice cream, meringue over it, and then you bake that off. So have it in the freezer a day or two ahead, and then you just literally pop it into the oven about 180 for about maybe 10 minutes 12 minutes, so you're kind of lightly cooking the meringue, and then you have this lovely kind of melted ice cream and chocolate sponge, and
gorgeous.
It's tasty. Oh. and everyone will enjoy it.
Going back to the Christmas pudding though, brandy butter were traditionally served with it. The pudding kind of drinks the brandy butter. It disappears, doesn't it?
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah,
that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, you've got fruit that's lying sleeping in the cupboard or the stores of the supermarkets all year. It needs awakened. And what happens is it absorbs more liquid as it continues to mature. And maturity is the key word. And, you know, you have to feed it. You know, it's been fed everything from poaching to God knows what cocktails the whole way through. But I like doing it with a stock syrup and a little bit of an Irish whiskey in there. And then flaming it is so important on the day, because that is the centrepiece of your dessert, if you want to showcase it. Mm-hmm. And one last tip on that, because my mum said to me, she practiced, she'd never done it before, and she didn't heat up the whiskey. So you got to heat it separately, pour it and then light it. But obviously be very careful when doing that. Always do it under the hood or fan of your kitchen and it'll
be careful. And what I do with the Christmas pudding, I slice it, I put it into a wee dish, cover it in cling film, and I just microwave it for about 20-30 seconds.
Oh, you don't do the steam?
I don't heat the whole steam, you know, and then I shape it into a little Dario mould.
Just lovely. Mm-hmm.
It's a bit, and with a bit of rum custard.
Yeah, or ice cream.
Yeah, or both.
Bit of ice.
Yeah, I love it. It is Christmas.
Thank you both for coming
in.
Lovely to
have
you here.
Christmas.
And all of your recipes, you've given us so many recipes, even recipes for leftovers, which is really important as well. And they're all up on the website rte.ie/today CB. Brian and Nevin, thank you very much
have
for coming
pleasure.
In.
Thank
and happy
you.
Christmas to you both. We'll take a break.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.